Today's presenting sponsor is SimpliSafe Home Security. As we step into a new year, we're all setting resolutions that matter. This January, resolve to take charge of your home and family safety. SimpliSafe's award-winning technology helps you prevent break-ins before they happen, so you can spend less time worrying and more time on what matters to you most in 2025. As you guys know, John Lovett had a SimpliSafe. He set it up himself. It had top-of-the-line sensors and technology. You could turn it on and off from his phone. It kept Lovett safe, it kept Pundit safe, and it'll work for you too. That's because traditional security systems only take action after someone has already broken in, and that is too late. SimpliSafe has Active Guard outdoor protection that can help prevent break-ins before they happen. Basically, if the SimpliSafe agent sees someone loitering around or being suspicious, they'll talk to them in real time. They'll tell them they can turn on the spotlights. And they can even call the cops, all before someone can get inside your house. There's no long-term contracts or cancellation fees. Monitoring plans start affordably at around a dollar a day. There's a 60-day satisfaction guarantee or your money back. It was named Best Home Security System by U.S. News & World Report 5 years in a row. Start the year with a greater peace of mind. Visit simplisafe.com/crooked to claim 50% off a new system with a professional monitoring plan and your first month free. That's simplisafe.com/crooked. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm John Favreau.
I'm John Lovett.
Tommy Vitor.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer.
We did it, guys. We did it. It's Monday afternoon, East Coast time, and in the words of Florida Congressman Byron Donalds, Daddy's home. The lame duck presidency of our oldest and first criminally convicted chief executive has begun, as former President Donald J. Trump just became current President Donald J. Trump during a ceremony held in the very place the mob he incited 4 years ago tried to overturn the election he lost. What a country. Tommy Lovett and I are here at the SiriusXM studios in snowy New York. Dan is joining us remotely from rebel-held San Francisco. obviously, lots to go through here, but yeah, let's just start with the speech. The inaugural address was moved inside the Capitol building because of extreme cold, and maybe as a result of that, the whole thing felt a little bit more like a State of the Union address than a traditional inaugural. Let's listen to some of the clips.
My recent election is a mandate to completely and totally reverse a horrible betrayal and all of these many betrayals that have taken place, and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedom. From this moment on, America's decline is over. January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day. As we gather today, our government confronts a crisis of trust. For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken. Many people thought it was impossible for me to stage such a historic political comeback. But as you see today, here I am. The American people have spoken.
Here I am. The American people have spoken. Can't argue with that. Dan, let's start with you. Thoughts on the speech?
I mean, it's just the whole thing was so surreal, right? As you pointed out in your opening, you have Donald Trump standing in the Capitol, the building that 4 years ago he incited a mob to try to assault. He delivers this speech, which in some ways feels like you say it feels like State of the Union because he's in the Capitol. It also felt like a State of the Union in the sense that it was a laundry list of policy ideas sort of woven together in a very incoherent fashion. And you take the words, if you just read the transcript of the speech, it reads like the words of a fascist dictator, but delivered with the energy and cadence of a middle manager at a sales conference. Like just very low energy. And which we would soon learn why, because then he would go give a second speech moments later where he just did the full shtick, all the things he wanted to say, did the whole Trump routine. This was the speech for the aides who told him to be disciplined, I guess. But, you know, not a great speech.
Love it. What'd you think as a speechwriter yourself?
Oh, well, yeah, as a speechwriter, I was disappointed. So there was a moment when, before Trump even got up there, when Franklin Graham got up there to give, I don't know what it's technically called, invocation, convocation. And he said, the last 4 years have been very dark, which is just not what you would typically say in a moment like this, especially since the Joe Biden is sitting right behind him.
That woke him up.
It did. And you had...
Just kidding.
It did. No, he was up. He was up. He was focused. But it's very... Look, like, the inaugural address is meant to be... I mean, he like kind of tilts at it being this unifying event. But first of all, this is a speech taking place in a weekend of political rallies. Mm. And was immediately politicized by the reverend meant to be doing a kind of religious invocation. And so he gave basically a version of his stump speech. And yes, it was the stump speech version when he takes out all the stuff that they beg him to take out, which they successfully got him to take out, which he does later. But it was still a stump speech, still a deeply political and small speech for inauguration.
Tommy?
January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day. It's just a giant Bill Pullman ripoff from Independence Day.
Yeah, no aliens.
How dare you, first of all. It's funny also that Dan criticized Trump for being too wonky, too policy focused. Didn't expect that. I sort of had a similar reaction. Like, it was sort of remarkable in how unremarkable it was. Like, my memory of the 2017 inaugural address is all that one line about American carnage. And then I rewatched that speech after I watched the 2025 version. And it's actually amazing how similar the two speeches are. We're going to make America great again. We're going to protect our borders. Some hand waving about unity. He updates this one with new, more modern grievances, like the judicial system being weaponized, the battle against inflation, and the need to invade Panama. But there's like verbatim lines at the top. Like in 2017, he said, "For too long, a small group in our nation's capital have reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost." 2025, "For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken and seemingly in complete disrepair." So it was, you know, just kind of like a stump-like, the same thing. I did note, though, for all of Joe Biden's attempts and efforts to be a decent person and have a dignified transfer of power, Trump still took a dump on his entire presidency and existence right next to him. So that was kind of him, cordial of him.
Gracious. It does feel like this speech, as much as I didn't care for the content that much of the speech, I kind of like the trend overall of getting away from the sweeping rhetoric of an inaugural address that's like meant for the history books and just like getting right to business. He didn't quite do that completely. Like half of it was the Stephen Miller sort of cliched fascism, I'll call it. That's the sort of Stephen Miller style. It's like
Proud Boys crossing the Delaware.
It's a fascistic rhetoric that's not like we've all heard before, and it's not really not a lot of creativity behind it. It's just sort of lame. And then it just got like very specific, very, very quickly. But to me, that's like a little more modern, you know, like the next Democratic president, I'd like them just to get to business, just talk about what they're going to do for the country.
Yeah. The what I was really feeling when I was watching him speak is, 8 years ago when Trump addressed the country, he did it really kind of unsure of what it meant to be president and what rules he had to respect and what rules he didn't, what customs he believed in and had value in, which customs he didn't. And now I do think he, like, these speeches that are for everybody, he just doesn't give a fuck about them. He doesn't care what the media says. He doesn't care how they're covered. He doesn't really see much of the value of it. Donald Trump gave two speeches. He gave his inaugural, and then he went to this overflow. His speech at the overflow, where he really let rip, was over 30, right? Yeah. That was the real Donald Trump. This is the Donald Trump he has to do once in a while for the squares.
Not for nothing. It was also the most, like, self-involved, self-referential inaugural of all time, maybe. I think that beats his first, but I don't know. Tommy, you just listened to the first one again, so you tell me if I'm wrong. But like, talks about the assassination attempt, fine. But then, you know, "It is my hope that our recent presidential election will be remembered as the greatest and most consequential election in the history of our country."
First inaugural to reference swing states.
And it's like he starts talking about swing states, his election results. So they tried to take away my freedom and my life. Again, he's conflates him breaking the law and then people trying to investigate him with a assassin that had apparently no political leanings, really, that just tried to take his life. So it's very, he's focused on what's important, which is him.
He said he's on a mission from God to save America.
You know, you think, so you want to say there's a dose of humility.
Yes, exactly.
No, I thought so. The speech wasn't the only component of the weekend's big celebration. He also did a big victory rally at Capital One Arena on Sunday. That also served as the overflow room for most people to watch the address, unless you were, you know, a member of the incoming cabinet, leadership in Congress, former president, and of course, a billionaire tech founder or CEO. Those are the people who got they got the good seats. Trump swung by the overflow room afterwards to say hi, signed some executive orders. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the 33-minute speech he gave to the overflow room, which is longer than the 29-minute inaugural address, which also, by the way, I guess is the longest inaugural address since Roosevelt in the modern era, which is wild. There were also a lot of balls, big parties. Snoop performed. Peter Thiel held a ball. Mark Zuckerberg held a party. CEO of TikTok had a party. What do you guys think of this, the weekend in general, and sort of the optics of the event, just the vibes in Washington this weekend? Anyone have any thoughts?
I mean, I think moving all the events inside and only doing things with tech CEOs and billionaire donors while the MAGA faithful have nothing to do or go to some giant arena where they get ignored, that's kind of a perfect metaphor for how I imagine this whole thing is going to go.
And look, if history is any guide, you want to keep those folks busy, especially in D.C.
That's true. Yeah. Well, there were Proud Boys marching through the streets today.
Idle hands, devil's playground.
But I mean, I do think this is why you're seeing like the Steve Bannon fight against Elon Musk and the tech oligarchs, because they're worried that their populism is erasing the minute the votes were counted. And they're not wrong.
Yeah, it's this weekend is the you know, he's about to take office. It's his final chance to do open corruption before he's actually president, so that the corruption he can do while president begins. But it felt like the end of any kind of pretense that he's not going to just be openly corrupt and basically sell access to the White House to these people. I mean, that's what this weekend was. It was a big sale. And I was thinking maybe he's sort of empathetic to people who, like waiters and servers who work for tips, because he's going to be the first president that does work for tips, which I think is some that is exciting. You know, don't forget to tip your president.
Yeah,
which is I think the motto of this weekend.
That's right.
He just wants to be a host.
Yeah,
that's it.
He loves
the
it.
Tip presidency.
That's right. Okay,
it's just the tip presidency. Okay,
pod title.
Workshopping that.
Stan's idea.
Workshopping that. One other notable moment to that end in the speech, he referenced the fires in Los Angeles at one point. Apparently, he's going to Los Angeles on Friday. And, you know, he brought up the fires. He also brought up Hurricane Helene because he wanted to basically show that leadership that's not him is incompetent and all that kind of stuff. But he also said this when he was talking about the fires.
Or more recently, Los Angeles, where we're watching fires still tragically burn. From weeks ago, without even a token of defense, they're raging through the houses and communities, even affecting some of the wealthiest and most powerful individuals in our country, some of whom are sitting here right now. They don't have a home any longer. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Who was he talking about that lost a home that was on the dais?
I did not know that natural disasters could harm rich people.
Yeah, I mean, that is his point.
Information.
That's exactly what he's in legitimate shock that the rich and powerful could be affected by something like this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess it's somewhat reassuring to know that we have oligarchs in Los Angeles, because at least that means we'll have to get some protection from the federal government if we need it.
Yeah, someone's summer house in Malibu probably got hit.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think we're getting protection from. I think they're going to hire their own protection.
No, that's right. Yeah. But it was just sort of.
It was a weird line.
Well, just a reminder. Like,
that's
what
interesting.
It is.
Also,
it's
just
it was a conspiracy. It sounded like, oh, maybe someone started it to target them. Like, that was my takeaway in the moment.
What I took away from it was. There's some rich person there who may have lost their house, which is terrible. And this is how Donald Trump governs. Someone nearby him told him this story, and now he is recounting it. And
he literally thinks it's interesting.
Maybe
we're reading too much. He just thinks it's interesting.
And whether
rich people lost their homes,
flipping on TikTok or any of the other policies that are going to come out of this administration, they are going to run through a gauntlet of rich people talking to Donald Trump directly about them casually in the places Donald Trump hangs out with his biggest backers. And that's what I took from this.
He also said that in the overflow speech that maybe Nancy Pelosi wanted January 6th to happen, and that's why she turned down the 10,000 troops he says he offered, and noted that she's guilty as hell. So that was said in the Capitol where the insurrection happened 4 years ago.
Maybe of a crime. Just to be clear, not just like morally guilty, he called it a criminal offense.
We're gonna get to the overflow room speech.
Good stuff.
At the end. It's a good one. So speech is pretty light on foreign policy. Trump welcomed the Israel-Gaza ceasefire deal, said the usual stuff about defending our own borders instead of other countries' borders and blah, blah, blah. Nothing new there. But he also made what sounded like some conflicting promises. Let's listen.
My proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier. A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. China is operating the Panama Canal, and we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back.
Tommy, is China operating the Panama Canal?
No. The Panama Canal Authority, it's a semi-autonomous government entity controlled by Panama, operates the canal. There are ports and infrastructure getting built by the Chinese on either side of the canal. Panama is one of the countries that signed a deal with China for the Belt and Road Initiative. So maybe he's referring to that. But there are a lot of factual errors in this part of the speech. He says
the United States
lost 38,000 lives in the building of the Panama Canal. Most of the deaths happened during the French construction portion.
Such a good fact check.
They quit on. But also, the people who did the work were from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
They were not American citizens. They were people who were basically indentured servants doing this work.
Several thousand Americans died, but it's not 38,000.
Yeah, not 38,000. Not even close.
So I guess...
I'm for this. I think we should take the Panama Canal back.
You want it back?
By force.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that. But that's not really up to
us. Why do you want it back?
We built it. And then Jimmy Carter, may his memory be a blessing, just gives it back because of some protest. We're taking it back.
What if France takes the Statue of Liberty back?
Mm.
They can try. What are they going to do?
Do a lot of eggs go through the Panama Canal? I'm just wondering.
Is that the price of eggs?
The price of eggs. Is that how we're lowering inflation?
I guess so.
Speeding more things through the Panama Canal.
A huge chunk of American shipping goes through the Panama Canal. It has gotten more expensive, but that's mostly because of drought. People usually attribute to climate change, not China.
Listen, Donald Trump is pretty clear about this. He is very comfortable with the Chinese government controlling the brains of America's young people, but not the canal.
Do you see the TikTok CEO sitting next to Tulsi Gabbard, the future director of national intelligence?
What a country.
What a good country. Stuff.
What a time.
Dan, what do you think, just from a public opinion perspective, how do you think the country is clamoring for a new name for the Gulf of Mexico? He also said he's going to Mount McKinley again. It was Mount Denali for a while.
We're saying Mount McKinley again.
We're saying Mount McKinley again. We're saying Merry Christmas again. We're saying Gulf of America for the first time. We're seizing Panama, hopefully not by force if necessary, but we're not ruling it out.
Greenland.
Greenland got the shaft in this speech.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't hear anything about Greenland. Nothing about the 51st state either. Justin Trudeau, outgoing prime minister. Dan, what do you think? Are these all, is this what people wanted when they voted in November?
Well, fortunately for us, John, we have polling that shows that 57% of Americans oppose Donald Trump using coercion, either military or economic, to seize the Panama Canal back.
So Trump and Lovett on the wrong side of that one.
Similar numbers on Greenland. American people are not interested in Greenland or the Panama Canal.
I heard a talk once about Greenland and how the harsh and unforgiving climate there, obviously. It isn't green, and I hope someone tells Trump that soon. But that the person in this sort of a Danish accent said, describing the mile-high glaciers and the impossible conditions, and was asked what would happen if someone invaded Greenland. And he said, if someone were to invade Greenland, we'd immediately rescue them.
Another kind of foreign policy adjacent one is he's going to designate drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. Mm. And I'm just very interested to see what that means in practice, because there's lots of reporting about connections between the Mexican government and the cartels, elected officials, or the Mexican military and these cartels. I want to know, are they going to get tagged with providing material support? Are we going to go back to the campaign rhetoric where we all were talking about using the U.S. military to bomb Mexico, bomb the cartel drug manufacturing facilities?
Sounds like they're already going to be down in Panama, so kind of a pincer move.
That's right. I mean, I guess we'll talk about this later, but my modus operandi for Trump 2.0 is to take it all literally and assume he's going to do these things. So if we're going to call them terrorists, presumably then you kill the terrorists, because that's usually what you do with terrorists if you're an American government. So stay tuned.
I would just say, Tommy, this is the entire plot line of Special Ops Lioness Season 2. And does it, it doesn't end well for anyone.
What is that? Is that a video game? Is that a TV show?
That is, it's on Paramount Plus, Taylor Sheridan show.
Okay.
For the makers of Yellowstone.
It's also adjacent
elite
to
the, Tommy Vitor just watching his prestige TV. Yeah,
sorry.
Well, yeah. Dan's
enjoy on Severance, you elite prick. We're watching Dan and I are watching Yellowstone.
Was it Lioness 2? What was it called?
Special Ops Lioness 2.
It is also the plot of Clear and Present Danger.
That's a great movie.
Which is a movie where the whole plot revolves around once the American people find out, there'll be hell to pay, which is a simpler time.
PodSave America is brought to you by Article. Article believes in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too. Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple. Article's team of designers are all about finding the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. They're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and looks good doing it. Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. Plus, they won't leave you waiting around. You pick the delivery time, and they'll send you updates every step of the way. Article's knowledgeable customer care team is there when you need them to make sure your experience is smooth and stress-free. We love Article. We got a lot of Article furniture here at Crooked HQ. Comfy couches. They look great. They arrive pretty quickly. We have some patio furniture at home that's from Article. It's great. Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/crooked, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/crooked for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tommy, just to put a button on the whole Panama thing, how does this work? Like, is it, they just, what are the options here outside of military force? He like tries to levy tariffs on Panama, economic pressure. I don't understand.
I think that Greenland, he really does want the territory. I think with Panama, he's probably just trying to get a better deal or better rate. But I looked into this a couple weeks ago when he started talking about it again. I think that they are charging us the same rate as everyone else, this ACP, the Panama Canal Authority.
And there is a company based in Hong Kong that won a bid to control some aspect of shipping, and they charge everybody. I think this is all kind of a bullshit way of describing what is ultimately a commercial debate, right?
I think the big picture on this is Trump's brain was frozen in the 70s, and he remembers when Reagan used to attack Jimmy Carter over the Panama Canal all the time, and it was a huge political issue, and he's just bringing it back.
Yeah, and there was a mention of Manifest Destiny in the speech again. That was about we're going to Mars.
Sick.
Elon was very excited behind him. We're going to Mars. We're taking Greenland. We're taking Panama. You can tell that he is serious about, all right, I'm a lame duck president. What's my legacy going to be? I want a name. I've named buildings Trump my whole life, and I want to name large land masses Trump and take them over for America. It seems like that's a vibe that he's quite serious about.
And I think it's the kind of thing where like a
maybe
studio
to keep
during
an eye on, you know?
A studio during pilot season, he's gonna throw a couple pitches out there and hope one becomes a hit.
Much like Lioness.
Yeah, much like Lioness season 2.
Tommy, what's the process for renaming the Gulf of Mexico?
Like, I don't know. I think Lovett was Googling this feverishly during the speech.
I believe.
Don't tell people how the magic happened.
As I said to that professor on the phone beforehand, it seems like he can unilaterally name things, but other countries don't have to recognize him. He can just order the federal government's maps and so forth to identify the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America. But that doesn't mean other countries are going to suddenly print Gulf of America.
Then they'll be pretty sorry once they're invaded.
Right.
Right. When we were laughing at, what did Claudia Sheinbaum, the new president of Mexico, threatened to call the United States like Greater Mexico or something.
Mexico, America, Mexican America, something like that. Yeah.
A little nationalism meeting nationalism.
Good for her. Trump did spend a lot of the speech laying out his plans for signing a slew of long rumored executive orders, which he described this way.
Today, I will sign a series of historic executive orders. With these actions, we will begin the complete restoration of America and the revolution of common sense. It's all about common sense.
I think Biden chuckled at that one, the common sense, which good for him. He should. So here are just a few of the ones he talked about and the ones that have been reported. Some he has already signed. Some he's in the process of signing. Hard to tell. 11 executive orders on the border alone, including ending birthright citizenship for the kids of undocumented immigrants, reinstating the Remain in Mexico policy, laying the groundwork to send troops to the border. As Tommy mentioned, designating drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, and also invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to expedite the removal of foreign-born criminals. That's immigration. He also is going to sign an executive order, quote, declaring that there are only two genders, aiming to end trans protections and the idea of gender identity within any kind of federal government office, service, etc. So, for example, passports will only be two genders. He'll also require that prisoners in the federal system be housed according to their sex at birth. He'll be declaring a national energy emergency, whatever that means, in order to expedite more drilling and fossil fuel production, and ending the electric vehicle mandate that wasn't really a thing that he says is killing America. He's signing an EO creating the Department of Government Efficiency, or as we've all come to know and love it as DOGE, which, by the way, Vivek Ramaswamy, he's out at DOGE because he's running for governor of Ohio. Good luck, Ohio.
That's why he's out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's just, think about how bad your fucking personality has to be. That you are co-lead of something with Elon Musk, and everyone's like, one of these guys has to go.
Yeah.
And it's you, Vivek.
Well, Little X was like, can you please stop carrying Vivek around on your shoulders?
Yeah, that's my spot. Job. That's my spot.
So they got him a governorship.
I think he's just ambitious and wanted to be elected. He's dying to be an elected politician.
There's been a ton of leaks out of the DOGE people that this guy
they don't like him. He was also B-team the whole time.
Yeah, and also he was telling... Yeah, anyway.
Well, I'm sure the people of
Ohio... He's also begging DeWine to make him the senator.
Yeah, that didn't work out either. Ending all...
Allegedly.
ending all federal government DEI initiatives, including in the military. There was also an order... He's saying an order to bring down inflation. Oh, it's a whole of government approach to bringing down inflation, because that's how it works. You just have to sign a EO and then the inflation comes down.
Inflation's quivering in its boots.
Inflation is quivering in its boots. What do we know about what here is real, what's new, what's impactful, what's just for show? What do you think, Dan?
I mean, much of the immigration stuff is real. Like, there are really horrible stories you're hearing right now from people who had appointments with CBP, people who are seeking asylum had appointments for 1 p.m. today, who had them canceled at 12:01. The app that the Biden administration set up so that people could set up their appointments, they shut that down at 12:01 today. The birthright citizenship is potentially fake, but maybe not. Like, I mean, most legal scholars believe you cannot, the Constitution is pretty clear on this, and you cannot declare it, but the Trump administration can start thinking about it in that way, and up until it goes through the court system, the people can be affected by it. A lot of this stuff is all, as you point out, it's like Trump creates this fake reality and then he creates a series of fake solutions to solve the fake problems from the fake reality, like the electric vehicle mandate, just declaring that government will stop censorship, will stop censoring things. All of that is really fake. But the immigration ones, I think, are quite real.
Trump says it's Liberation Day. And then you look at this swath of EOs, and yes, there's sort of these the fake censorship ones. But for the most part, there's nothing you weren't free to do yesterday that you're free to do today. There's nothing, I'd love to see the list of things that Trump MAGA people would like to be free to do that they're not currently able to do under the yoke of Joe Biden. And so really what Liberation Day—
You can buy a Trump shitcoin and a Melania shitcoin.
Right, but those were for sale before Trump even took office. But it's more that, like, well, what does it really mean? What does Liberation Day mean? It means you get to watch on television all the people Trump has said are your enemies finally get their due. It's sort of a, it's like you're nothing good is happening to you. Nothing better is happening for you. You're not free to do anything different. It's that Trump is targeting the enemies he's promised he was going to target. And that gives you a wonderful, I guess, liberated feeling.
Yeah, you could have saved a lot of time by just signing one EO on liberal tears. Watch the libs cry.
Can't spell Liberation Day without lib.
That's right. Right? That's right. You can't.
That's what I'm saying.
Can't spell a lot of things.
Yeah, I do. I don't. I mean, like the Doge thing. I know they're trying to do like shock and awe, like a ton of executive orders. A lot of the birthright citizenship, even conservative legal scholars don't think this stands a chance.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
The 14th Amendment is very clear.
And the only reason we're even entertaining it is because the Supreme Court has lost its mind. But it is completely blitheringly obvious that this does not make sense, that birthright citizenship is not something the president can eliminate with the stroke of a pen. The 14th Amendment is crystal clear.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Because it's the Supreme Court. They can always surprise you. But I'm watching more like, do we get 3 votes for this? Do we get 2 votes for this? Do we get 1 vote for this? Like, I don't think Roberts goes with this. I don't think Barrett and Kavanaugh go with this. But Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas, you never know.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe we also thought this on the fucking criminal immunity case got surprised there. So who knows? But it seems this one is pretty clear.
Kavanaugh was there today and was looking rough.
I think he and Hegseth had a night. That's a joke. That's a joke.
It could have been a night of just dancing.
Revelry. Fellowship. Sure.
They might have danced a lot. Trump did not mention the TikTok ban in his speech, but he previously said he would sign an executive order delaying enforcement of the law banning it in the U.S. This after TikTok users spent the weekend with access only to messages from the app praising President Trump, even though he wasn't president yet, for his valiant efforts to save the service. Trump truthed. Save TikTok. Of course, he was once for the ban. Now he's trying to save it. Then TikTok's now back for people. It's all in limbo right now. Basically, the law says it gives the president the authority to delay the implementation of the ban by 60 or 90 days if there is a potential deal in the offing. It doesn't seem like there is a potential deal, but it seems like they're just going with this anyway. The Biden administration had said in their final days, we're not going to enforce the law so TikTok can remain operational.
Which is cool, by the way. Cool.
Right.
Like, great.
And then TikTok being like, well, we don't want Biden to say that we can be operational and not get people's attention. So we're going to do a stunt and shut down. And it worked, of course, because it got everyone's attention. Everyone at TikTok who hadn't been paying attention about that. What do we think about this, the Trump being the savior of TikTok? Dan, I know you wrote a box on this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is going to be the thing that defines his presidency, but he we can talk about the national security concerns, we can talk about the dangers of TikTok, but from pure politics, he played it exactly right. And I do think the Democrats fumbled.
And so did TikTok and the many Republican and Democratic lobbyists they hired and have been working full time for them.
I mean, it's really not that complicated that if you are, we're doing pure politics here. That if you're going to take something of tremendous value from 6 in 10 voters under 30, and then you never talk about why that should happen from the moment you pass the law in the dark of night until the day it disappears. Like, no one ever made the case for it. You know, Biden could have tried to make a public show, as Trump did in the first administration, of trying to facilitate a deal. It's like they all passed this thing. They passed it without really thinking about it. They didn't sell it. They didn't make a case for it. And Trump understood right away, I mean, for entirely cynical, ridiculous reasons, we understood the politics of it. Because at the time, a lot of these Democrats voted for it, and Republicans too, because your choice was anger the youths or look soft on China. And they defaulted to what was always theoretically better politics, being tough on China. And there's just a real difference between taking something that matters a lot to a group of people. Like, you and I used this example with you on Friday. For voters of a certain age, taking away TikTok is like taking away cable TV from us in our 20s. Like, it just disappears one day. And that is all, taking something away from someone is always going to be worse politics than generically being tough or soft on another country in a way that doesn't really affect people. And so, I mean, from a political perspective, Trump did very well here. This is, he got a, the, probably the most expensive free ad in American history, to have a, you know, push notification sent to 170 million Americans, first begging you to save the app and then crediting you for saving it all within a 12-hour period. It's like...
Yeah, profoundly frustrating 24 hours. I mean, I thought Dan's piece on this in MessageBox, his newsletter, which you all should subscribe to.
Thank you, Tommy.
It was excellent. There was lots of less thoughtful commentary on Twitter about how, once again, Dems suck and Republicans rule because we gifted Trump this political win. And I just wish, and while that is true, the politics of this did not end well for Joe Biden or the Democratic Party. I wish people were pointing out, though, that the vote in the House to ban was 360-58. So like 186 Republicans voted for banning TikTok or divesting TikTok. It was 79-18 in the Senate. So you had 31 Republicans in the Senate. So this is a overwhelming bipartisan decision. The reason they did it was national security concerns, which they've done an absolutely terrible job explaining to anyone. So no one understands why this happened. But I also think part of the story of how Trump went from wanting to ban TikTok and trying to do it on his way out the door to getting to saving TikTok is also that he met with a big donor named Jeff Yass, who said something to him that led him to flip-flop on this issue. And I think Jeff Yass owns 15% of ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok. So there was a big money angle here. And then, you know, TikTok wasn't shut down. They shut themselves down preemptively so they could put up this little, "Please save us, Mr. Trump," that they shouted from their tall tower. And then they gave him the win and they're like, "Oh, Mr. Trump saved us," to suck up to the incoming administration. So it was just like, it was so obviously a stunt. And people were like, the commentary on Twitter in particular was just so fucking credulous. Yeah.
I'm sure there could be a money angle to it, but like, I'm sure Kellyanne Conway like talked to Donald Trump and was like, "Hey, one of the reasons you won is because of TikTok and they love you on TikTok now. And TikTok's a great place to get your message out." And he's like, "Really? What's a TikTok?" And they're like, "Well, here it is." And he's like, "You know what? Sure. Yeah, I'm into it now." Yeah. Right.
Probably. But Jeff Yass bought like a ton of shares of Truth Social at the time and like put a bunch of money into the Trump team's pocket. So
yeah. I think it can be a why not both situation. Yes. I mean, as Joe Biden goes out the door, it's like just these three big problems. One of them being that like the reason they did this was never communicated and Joe Biden could never communicate it. They never made the case. They passed it too quickly. It was always these kind of vague invocations of national security without explaining why then the same spyware was fine in the hands of Americans. It was sort of baffling.
It's a perfect example of institutional failure.
Yes.
It's everything.
Yes. It's
like we're Democrats, you know, and this is what it's Democrats and Republicans. And Donald Trump doesn't care what the fuck people think about Republicans either. You know, like you're right that like the lefties on Twitter who are mad that against the ban, right, are like blaming Democrats because they love blaming Democrats for everything. And Democrats get blame here. I also think that like it is Republicans' fault. Trump doesn't care if it's a bunch of Republicans going to the bus too, because he is separate from the mass in Washington. But for the mass in Washington, the establishment in Washington that tried to work together in a bipartisan way to do the right thing, it's just the same story of the last however many years, which is we know it's right. It is the right thing. And they could be right, right? Like I'm persuaded that there's some national security threats here too, right? But we don't need to tell you.
They never
just trust us.
It.
Trust us. No one trusts them, but trust us. Well,
and they made a big show of like declassifying all this information around the Ukraine, Russian invasion of Ukraine. So why not do that again here? You know,
yeah,
like there's a way to
point.
Put information into people's hands.
So so that's one. So then you have two. You know, Donald Trump teaches all these Republicans that you don't need to have shame, that you can live without shame, and they embrace it. And it is amazing how few guardrails there are once the shame guardrail was gone. Now, this moment is everybody outside of politics learning that lesson for themselves. All these tech companies and these guys realizing, wait, if I just kiss his ass, I get a bad op-ed in the Washington Post, and then I get everything I want. I don't care about the Washington Post. I don't care what the elite says anymore. There, all I have to do is ignore it or pretend it doesn't bother me.
He's got the power. They don't have the power.
Right.
They can't hurt me with their words.
And no. So
it, sit on the dais.
And so right. There was a time when people had a certain amount of dignity where you might not, if you lead a company, go into a room full of people that work for you and say, put up a little supplicating message that says Donald Trump has a huge penis and how beautiful it is. Mm-hmm. And then we'll say that we saw it ourselves. and then he'll be happy.
You're doing because, the Pornhub case?
Yeah, boy, yeah. We have very different TikTok algorithms because that's not the message I got.
but like that TikTok is willing to put up a ridiculous message like this and say, thank you, Mr. Trump. Like we used to make fun of the people that said, thank you, Mr. Trump. Now the biggest leaders in the American economy are doing it.
Who I'm sure did not come up with the idea on their own, which is not a really brilliant idea to come up with. But again, they have had Republican and Democratic consultants, lobbyists. They're all on, everyone in Washington is on TikTok's payroll. They hired them all. And it is the easiest fucking money to make to go in there and be like, hey, I got an idea. Just say thank you, Donald Trump.
And so then the third piece of it, which is I think about like the difference between what it is like to be a Democrat online versus a Republican online is when Democrats do something bad, or Republicans criticize Democrats, when Democrats achieve something, Republicans attack Democrats. When a bipartisan bill like this happens, right, the online left attacks Democrats. And it's not, oh, this is actually Donald Trump. There's no one making that argument. It's a bunch of people declaring, this is why Democrats are terrible. This is why Democrats are terrible. And I agree they're terrible. But if we want to, I agree with all of that. But like so much of the time you see these two things side by side, which is how do Republicans get away with this stuff, right? How do they do it? And then you look at our media and it's a bunch of people that are much more interested in being part of the discourse of strategy than actually doing the attacking, right? There's a lot of people saying, ugh, Donald Trump's going to get credit for this, as opposed to a bunch of people saying, Donald Trump doesn't deserve credit for it, and here's why, right? Like, Republicans have so many more soldiers in the social media wars than we do. We have analysts and we have observers. And like, if you want to talk about how Donald Trump managed to change politics so much over the last 8 years and how things are possible now that weren't possible before, it was that slow and steady work of those people making acceptable things that weren't acceptable. We just don't have those people.
Fixed bayonets, love it.
Yeah, so on charge, internet, charge social.
Listen, and there's a, look, yeah. I think the-
I will, I'm ready. To digitally.
There's actually a Steve Bannon thing he always says, we're gonna fix bayonets, we're going after this.
Oh, I don't know the lingo.
But I'm also I'm in complete agreement with Dan's message box that the politics are what they are for Democrats, and also I'm for the ban. I think the ban is a good idea. I think that having the CCP control one of the largest media platforms that 170 million people in the United States are on, that is like melting their fucking brains, our brains. I'll include myself there too, just to not, I don't want to offend the youth. We're all part of it again. I think it's bad.
I mean, by law, ByteDance has to provide the Chinese Communist Party with whatever it wants, basically. And, you know, the broader context is the Chinese have hacked into basically every single telecom company in the United States. We've been unable, the United States government's been unable to get them out. We've learned over time that this op that's called Salt Typhoon, they've managed to get audio and text messages of calls from Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, senior political officials. So there's this ongoing hacking war happening. And the idea that the Chinese national security state wouldn't use TikTok when it's ridiculous. On
Look at, read,
all
read,
our phones.
Everyone just read the Supreme Court opinion, the 9-0 Supreme Court opinion. ByteDance is collecting the content of private messages on TikTok. It is also collecting the email and contact info of anyone in your contacts if you're using TikTok,
and
their emails too. So now the Chinese government, when they want to, can have the names, location data, like what you're buying, email of every single American. So like, again, maybe you're fine with that, but it's also a legitimate concern to address.
Right, but this to me is, this is the problem, right? And all of that would be okay if it were in the hands of an American. And to me, like, what I take away from
we're a nation. That's why we have borders.
Right, but if we're talking about it, yes, it is worse when China does it.
Right,
but we have accepted an incredible level of invasion by these companies, which also should not be allowed. We went through a cycle of this with Facebook in 2016, and then Elon Musk's Twitter and how that's changed, and misinformation on TikTok, and whether it's Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or the Russians or the Chinese communist, what all these people have learned is that, like, if you throw a bunch of throwing stars and nunchucks and bayonets and knives into the center of a digital circle, Americans will pick them up and kill each other with them. And that to me is still the problem, right? And so like, I like whether people go from TikTok to fucking Reels, like I don't like that this, like the law remains the law, right? Donald Trump's allowed to extend it, but they have to put it in other people's hands. But like the problem of misinformation and the way in which these technologies are fucking terrible for us continues.
And by the way, you know, no one has Joe Biden to kick around anymore. And the people who are now most opposed to Trump saving TikTok, Tom Cotton, Republican senator, has already posted. Mike Johnson on Meet the Press was very like, we're going to try to, you know, the law is the law. Like, I do think he's going to have at least at the beginning, like always, some Republican pushback on
this. Trump wants to force a sale to someone more supportive of him, like Elon Musk. I think the critics of this ban are right to point out comments from senior U.S. government officials where they said that like real momentum behind TikTok's ban came when there was tons of pro-Palestinian content on there about Gaza. And I do think that was sort of bizarre.
Stupid argument.
U.S. government officials were making that argument. But anyway.
Yeah. How about people do try something? Make the case for why it should be banned. Just like talk and like declassify or make public some of these actual arguments that have clearly scared members of Congress behind the scenes that we are still not seeing.
And again, Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sam Alito agreed. Pod Save America is brought to you by Viya. The holiday season mess with your routine? Looking to take charge of your life with full mental clarity this new year? Enhance your sober January and embrace CBD Awareness Month with Viya to experience the powerful benefits of hemp without the high. Trusted by over 500,000 happy customers, Viya is the Swiss Army knife of wellness dedicated to harnessing the natural benefits of hemp to create high-quality wellness products. Viya's collection of THC-free products combines minor cannabinoids like CBD, CBG, and CBN with botanical supplements for targeted effects you can actually feel. Whether you're looking to improve your sleep, focus, or relief, Viya has something for you. Viya is also well-renowned for their award-winning THC and THC-free gummies and vapes, THCA flower, soothing topicals, and calming drops, all crafted with the highest quality hemp sourced from trusted, independently owned American farms. And the best part, Viya legally ships to nearly all states in the U.S. in discreet packaging directly to your door with a worry-free guarantee, no medical card required. So if you're 21 plus, check out our link to Viya's website in our description and use code CROOKED for 15% off. And if you're new to Viya, get a free gift of your choice. Viya's great. I tried some of their CBD, some of their THC gummies, because, you know, that's kind of how I roll in these times. And they're fantastic. It's CBD helps you sleep. At least I find that to be true. So it's really great. Highly recommend. If you're 21 plus, go to viya.co/crooked and use the code crooked to receive 15% off. And if you're new to Viya, get a free gift of your choice. That's viya.co/crooked. Use code crooked. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Again, viya.co/crooked. Use code crooked. This year, enhance your everyday with Viya.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
One last unintentionally funny clip from Donald Trump's inaugural address. This one in honor of Martin Luther King. It's Martin Luther King Day. Happy Martin Luther King Day, everyone.
This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based.
Merit-based. Did you see all the billionaires clapping behind him?
They're ready. They're ready merit-based. For this merit-based future.
Yeah. Do you think it was merit-based that they got those seats? That's right?
Trump became head of the Republican National Committee.
Merit-based.
And how Jared Kushner became an advisor at the White House.
Did you see that the billionaires got the second row behind Trump?
Mm-hmm.
And then the cabinet gets the third row behind Trump.
It's in a row of declining influence.
That's exactly right.
The Republican governors were in the overflow.
Donald Trump went to the overflow, he started talking about Texas, and somebody shouted, "He's here! He's here! He's in the room with you now!"
It's merit based now, guys. Mm-hmm. That's one thing you should remember about the second Trump term. Speaking of merit based, mm-hmm. I alluded to this earlier, but Trump did launch a Trump coin over the weekend, and then Melania launched a Melania coin.
These are Kennedy and Jackie Oden.
Does anyone want to explain these meme coins, what they are, why they're a scam, what's going on?
You're buying nothing. You are technically buying a digital playing card, but it's not supposed to be viewed as a security or an investment or a donation to Trump. You're buying nothing because you like the thing. But people buy and sell and trade these things because they know with some of these meme coins, also called shit coins, you can see huge rips to the upside, whether it's like Dogecoin and all of a sudden Elon Musk likes it and you can see people pile in and the price goes up.
Can you talk about
what
rips to the upside means?
You can see the value go way up, and if you bought a million of them for 1 cent and it goes to a dollar, you make a ton of money. So that's what seems to have happened here. They're a company connected to Trump owns 80% of these Trump coins. They also get a fee on the sale of these coins. I saw a guy named Connor Grogan, who is a director at Coinbase, estimated on Saturday that Trump's team had made $58 million in fees from all of the Trump coin sales. So Trump, they launched this Trump coin. Trump promotes it on Truth Social. The thing goes to the moon. And then they launched the Melania coin. And it seems like a bunch of people saw that happen. And maybe they sold their Trump coin to buy Melania coin. Maybe
gotta have
sold
one of each, you know?
Well, maybe you sold the Trump coin because you're like, oh no, they're going to launch 1,000 of these things. The value is going to go down. Whatever happens, people just started selling like crazy. And the price just collapsed. And it's called a rug pull in the kind of like the coin world. So I don't know. We'll find out.
Who loses out here? Because it seems like a bit of a pyramid scheme.
All the schmoes who buy late lose out, and all the people who own it early win. This is the Hawk Tua coinification of the presidency. And, you know, normally you might see like regulators investigating what happened here. Maybe law enforcement gets involved. You think Trump's going to have his DOJ dig into what happened?
No, we're all crypto friendly now.
SEC or FTC?
This is the war against crypto is over.
And he's now going to write the regulations for how crypto is regulated. So this is the new world, folks.
I really want 10 years from now someone to have to explain what the sentence, the hawk tuification of the Trump presidency means.
Well,
during
the next financial crisis, which is caused by a crypto meltdown that has infected the entire economy and banking system, we'll be able to look back on that on this moment.
A couple years from now, AOC's campaign for president being like, would you believe how many Melania's eggs cost?
You know what I did enjoy though? There's all these like crypto bros online who are, you know, like self-described huge Trump supporters. And they're like, this is stupid. Why did he do this? This is gonna sully our reputation as an industry. And this isn't. And one crypto lobbyist was quoted as saying, like, this is not going to help our reputation as hucksters and scammers. And now people are going to think that we're just a bunch of fraudsters because Trump did this. And I was a big Trump supporter, but this is really disappointing that he's doing this.
Honestly, I think credit good for those people.
Yeah,
like there are arguments you can make for the utility of Bitcoin or the blockchain or other these technologies. There's no utility to a meme coin or shitcoin. It's just for shits and giggles. And for the president of the United States to launch this thing the day before he's inaugurated and then someone pull the rug on everybody who got in late, like he's harming his own people who might have bought in.
No, I say good for them because you're right. You can make arguments in favor of it. But to trust that Donald Trump, as if he just emerged out of nowhere, like, oh yeah, this guy has our best interest at heart. This guy's gonna put the proper guardrails on the agents.
What I think we take away from those quotes though is just how egregious this was. This is like shockingly irresponsible, borderline illegal.
Well, and look, where did all that money, right? Where does that $50 million in the pockets of this entity come from? Or the people who bought in at too high a value before it collapsed? Like, where does that money come from? Like, it may be, a lot of it may be from MAGA supporters, people that don't know any better and are just sort of following the trends. People, you know, you can't con an honest man. People who think they're going to get one over and try to get in early and fall prey to this. But this is also a vehicle for all kinds of corruption that we may not be able to see. We have no idea who's buying this. We have no idea who's sending $30 million or $50 million to Donald Trump via this kind of
foreign actors, foreign adversaries. They can all just sort of curry favor with the President of the United States now. It's just easier. I mean, they could before because it's Donald Trump, but this is just sort of an easier way to do it. All right, let's talk about the outgoing president, Joe Biden. Here's how he greeted Donald Trump at the White House before the inaugural ceremony. Donald Trump. Welcome home. Welcome home. Okay, that's a tough one. I thought a simple hello would have sufficed. I don't think you need to like punch him in the face or anything or be mean. I think he could have just been like, hello.
Do you think it's the same mattress?
No.
You think they get a new mattress in there?
I bet they go with the Don Lux.
Yeah. You think it's a Don?
Oh, very good. Always thinking of the sponsors.
Yeah, that's good.
Call it out.
They have a new Elite collection. Maybe they went for that. I bet if Donald Trump gave Helix a shout out, they'd send him a free one.
Biden also made some last minute moves. He issued preemptive pardons for Liz Cheney, members of the January 6th committee, the staff, Benny Thompson, Anthony Fauci, Mark Milley, General Mark Milley, and then his entire family. So his brothers, sister, in-laws, the whole Biden crime family. No, Dan pointedly
pardon said,
did not
I'm
get
basically one. My son, Dan Pfeiffer from Delaware. Everyone from Delaware got a pardon.
Pelosi didn't get one. Pelosi didn't get one because they're not speaking.
She's getting a different something from Donald Trump.
Right.
Biden made sure of that too. What'd you guys think of the last minute pardons?
I like the ones for the people that tried to protect democracy. I'm confused by the ones for his family members. There are people that I didn't even know they were on Donald Trump's radar. I think Cash Patel is going to find out some about these people existing via these pardons.
What did you think, Dan?
Well, I mean, there has been one of his brothers has been a target for a long time, and it's been a target from Trump, a target of the Republicans, a target of the Republican Congress. So I think if you're doing that, I guess you're doing the whole family to make next year's Thanksgiving less awkward.
Do you think it goes in a stocking or something? How do you get these out?
I mean,
stocking stuffer.
It was one of those things where you pull it and it.
It's a gender reveal.
The preemptive pardons, fine. Right. I mean, I think it's weird he didn't do Jack Smith. I know why he didn't do Merrick Garland. Maybe he shouldn't have prosecuted Biden's son.
Right. Yeah.
But like everyone who was involved in investigating Donald Trump, Judge Mershon.
Cassie Hutchinson, did she get one?
No,
that's a good question.
I don't think so.
I don't think the witnesses did. No,
they said some of the they did for the Capitol police officers that testified.
Right.
So I don't know about Cassidy.
I mean, I would like to be. I would love a little more specificity if I were her.
Yeah. That's very true.
I think the people like, who got it know. Like there are names out there. I think with them.
Yeah, but people in DOJ, people like Alvin Bragg. Or, you know, Tish James, like all those. I mean, I guess you have to draw a line somewhere. You know?
He should have put something up by the auditorium, like everyone's finding out if they made Cheer Squad.
Oh, yeah, and if your name's not on there, you're just like.
What do you open the thing? It's like, ugh, commutation, come on.
Yeah, pardon's so much better.
But like, back to Cassie Hutchinson, I mean, I don't know her. She's been on the show. She was a witness. She was someone that Republicans accused of committing perjury before the committee. And also someone who is at the lowest level, right? She was an assistant in the White House, has no resources, is not going to be able to hire like the fanciest lawyers out there. So I would be a little nervous if I were.
I will just say because...
And Trump called her out at his overflow speech.
Yeah, he did.
He went after basically by name.
I will just say though that when he did the Hunter pardon, I said then that if he does the preemptive pardons, it will at least put the Hunter pardon in a better light. I still disagree with it, but I am good for Joe Biden. I think the preemptive pardons, it is sad that he has to do preemptive pardons for a bunch of people who committed no crimes. But when you have a person who just became president, who literally almost every day of his campaign threatened to prosecute people for no reason because he was mad that he was being investigated for his law breaking, then, you know, I probably would have done the same thing.
Oh, good for Joe Biden for
doing it.
It's an umbrella. If better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. It clearly annoyed Donald Trump, and we'll get to that speech. But, you know, Donald Trump is pissed about these pardons. Yeah, it is. It's just a strange list. And it is funny to also throw in your whole family. It's funny to do the Hunter one in advance.
It's the other thing. It's like they released him at like 11:58. Like, as his final act was to release Leonard Peltier from prison, to pardon pardon Jerry Lundgren, who's a Kentucky politician who's in prison for campaign finance violations, and his whole family. Like, doing it like in the sort of dark of night like that just makes it seem worse. You know, just do it all. And it's the same thing with the Hunter Biden pardon. It's just like, do them and defend them. Make the case for them.
Every personal political decision Joe Biden makes, he tends to make only with his family and like one or two aides, and then just roll it out right away. And it creates a political nightmare, right? I mean, this is
the family influence has its fingerprints all over this one.
Right. I mean, there's all this reporting about how he decided to run for re-election without really running it by staff. There's reporting that the Hunter pardon was made in concert with, you know, like a family meeting, and then they kind of rolled it out weeks and weeks ago and then did the rest of them this week. So, yeah, I mean, I think the timing, the communications plan wasn't really there for a lot of these.
I do think it's going to really hurt Joe Biden's reelection chances, but
it hurt like how he was talked about for months. I mean, he could have put Hunter in this last batch and buried it all. I guess there was kind of the questioning issue of sentencing that complicated things timing-wise.
I guess.
I know. And I still don't get that, because it's like, say Hunter was sentenced, then there's still the pardon's the pardon, or the commutation's the commutation, you know?
The Leonard Peltier one is interesting, though. He's a Native American activist who's been in jail since 1977 for allegedly murdering two FBI agents. But it's been very controversial. And I think, you know, people have been trying to get him released for years and years and years now. I mean, Amnesty International called him a political prisoner, et cetera.
And I think he's not completely freed. I think he's now on a home confinement. It moved him to home confinement.
I'm glad Fauci got one.
Yeah.
Our boy Fauci can rest easy.
Yeah, but also like there's this presumption of guilt. And you see shady people like Rand Paul tweeting about how now we know, you know, Fauci is guilty for his actions during the pandemic. And maybe who cares?
I don't care about that.
The only reason this matters is Chip Roy was out of the gate saying, okay, well, now that they're all pardoned, we can haul them all before Congress and they can't take the Fifth. And so either they tell us the truth or they lie, and then we can get them on perjury.
Well, look, we can't stop the fact that they've taken over the government.
Right.
We can't stop them from abusing their offices on a going forward basis. And we can't stop them from, in bad faith, interpreting this however they want. But I think I would rather have a pardon in my hand and Rand Paul yelling at me than neither, I think.
You know what else we can't do? Fake declare a new amendment to the Constitution.
Now, Jonathan, you go outside and you say, I declare the Equal Rights Amendment is the law of the land.
This happened on Friday. Biden declared that the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution was now the law of the land, even though basically no one else agrees. Love it. You want to unpack this one for us?
So the Equal Rights Amendment, the original draft had a deadline, I believe, of 1977. It was extended to 1982. It was passed by almost enough states to become a constitutional amendment. It was one away. Then in the years that followed, several states rescinded their ratification, and then Virginia became—
No takebacks on amendments.
No takebacks. And then Virginia became the 37th state to ratify the ERA, and there was a movement to say that Congress setting a deadline is not constitutional because the Constitution doesn't make any provision for deadlines for ratification of amendments, and therefore that part of the amendment doesn't matter, and the National Archivist, who is somehow, for whatever reason, very important in this process, should declare it part of the Constitution. They said no.
But she prints all the pocket constitutions. So,
right? Yeah, huh. And the big ones.
And the big ones.
And the big ones.
She's got all of them, all sizes.
Yeah, all. Yeah, yeah. You can get all the. Yeah.
You just do a PDF.
But Biden could have ordered her to do it, and he did not.
Well, right. He could have ordered her to do it, but it's not clear. Then it's not clear what happens after that, and it would then end up before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has in the past ruled on these kinds. The court has found that setting deadlines is a reasonable thing to do under the Constitution, and that they have every right to do it. It does, like, to me, like what I was comparing it to is like, okay, so Joe Biden is doing this kind of vaguely extra legal thing on his way out the door, and Donald Trump is doing this extra legal thing coming into the door of declaring that the children of undocumented immigrants are not citizens. And it's just, I feel like we we're like, you know, Joe Biden is the institution guy, and there's a bunch of critiques of Joe Biden from the left saying he defends the institution, but he should use his power and he should go further. And then he does something like this, and it's like he does it, and the archivist says no, and then he's out of office and it's fucking dead. And it just felt like a strange, I don't know, like kind of statement of principle or a fuck you out the door. It didn't lead to anything. It was purely ceremonial. It was very strange.
The substantive case for trying to weigh in on this, let's say, would be that the supporters of the view that the amendment has been ratified say that the president putting his weight behind it lends some credence to the legal case should it go before the courts, right? Now, fine. But in that case, maybe Joe Biden goes up and gives a statement that says, like, while I don't know if I can do this, I believe it is, and actually explains this. What made it sort of mocked, what led to it being mocked is, you know, just like a graphic that he tweeted that is like, I declare the amendment is the law of the land.
So I declare bankruptcy.
Once again, the way they went about it was just sort of like, what?
it was very typical. It's like enough to please the groups who have been pushing very hard for the White House to do this, but not enough mm-hmm. to actually go all the way. Like, let's say he had ordered the archivist to do it, and the archivist had printed a bunch of new constitutions with more amendments before you go out the door. One, those would be worth a lot of money when it's eventually struck down.
That'd be cool.
But it's just like,
it was
pure symbolism, right? With no communications plan around it.
No explanation for like why they did it, why they couldn't do it, what was going on, just nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Or by all the alternative, by the way, he's right at the other door. He orders the National Archivist to do it. The archivist is like, no. And then where are we?
And again, this is not just like beating up on Joe Biden as he goes out the door, that this was a weird thing to do. It's like, this is a good lesson for the future for Democrats. Don't do shit like that. Don't just declare stuff because like it's symbolism, performance of stuff. Like it just doesn't matter. What matters is like explaining to people why you can do something and then actually getting the power to do it.
Whether it's the pardons, whether it's TikTok, whether it's this. We have paid, it's the last time I'm going to say it for a while, we have paid so dearly for having an empty bully pulpit for a long time. And that is the sad end to the Joe Biden presidency, despite a lot of good that he did.
Well,
poor Phyllis Schlafly. So everyone should listen to Strict Scrutiny this week. They go deeper on this. It was very interesting.
Yes, you should, because always listen to Strict Scrutiny. Pod Save America is brought to you by Helix. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including award-winning Lux and Ultra Premium Elite collections. Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers. Helix Mattress, designed for growing bodies, endorsed by child sleep experts. So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Not sure you can take my word for it? Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Love Helix mattress. We got a couple in our house. Charlie's got one. Our son's got one. It's his very first mattress, and he loves it. It's very comfortable, as do I when I am in there reading him a book. We also have our guest mattress is a Helix mattress, and that's super comfy. That's at least what we hear from our guests. So highly recommend going to get yourself a Helix mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/cricket for 27% off site-wide, plus 2 free dream pillows with mattress purchase. That's helixsleep.com/cricket for 27% off site-wide, plus 2 free dream pillows with mattress purchase. helixsleep.com/cricket.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Speaking of someone who really knows how to command the bully pulpit, Donald Trump, even though he gave the longest inaugural address in modern history, decided he was not done yet, went to the overflow room and spoke to that crowd in Emancipation Hall. 33 minutes, and basically it was like it was the director's cut from the inaugural address. All the things he wanted to say.
Yeah, it was the drunk DVD commentary.
Exactly. All the things he wanted to say but couldn't say in the speech. Let's listen.
And between J.D. and Melania and anybody else that heard, please, sir, it's such a beautiful, unifying speech. Please, sir, don't say these things. I was going to talk about the J6 hostages, but you'll be happy because, you know, it's action, not words that count. And I was going to talk about the things that Joe did today with the pardons of people that were very, very guilty of very bad crimes. Why are we doing Milley? He was pardoned. What he said. Terrible what he said. Why are we helping some of the people? Why are we helping Liz Cheney? I mean, Liz Cheney is a disaster. She's a crying lunatic and crying Adam Kinzinger. He's a super crying. I never saw the guy not crying. He's always crying. And I think this was a better speech than the one I made upstairs. Okay? I think this was better, J.D.
It's not wrong.
It certainly was a truer speech to who Trump is. That's sort of the moment I think we all heard this was going on. We're like, oh, this is the next 4 years. This is what we're in for.
Yeah.
It's a rally speech. One after the other.
Did you catch that, Dan? Did you catch the overflow speech?
I did. And it's exactly you described it right. It is the director's cut. It's just, and this, I mean, it's just like, sometimes I can never stop looking at these things from the perspective of a communications staffer, but you do this whole speech. This is your message. You have, I mean, it's poorly written, but someone did write it and you have it out there and you've decided these are the things you're going to do. And then he just calls Nancy Pelosi a criminal and talks about and calls Liz Cheney a crying psychopath minutes after your speech is over. It's just, it's like a truly wild choice.
I also, everyone should go watch this just to see the look on J.D. Vance's face at the top where he starts talking about all the things he didn't want them. He looks like so pained and kind of constipated. And Speaker Johnson is like twitching and looking around and staring into the middle distance. It's nice.
Well, part of it also, like, this was supposed to be 10 minutes. And it's a little bit like they're like, okay, so Trump's going to give a little toast to say thank you to all the people in the overflow because we couldn't do this outside. And then we'll go do the parade and whatever other and the heinous executive order ceremonies and all the other things. We've got big plans for the day. And so they're just standing behind him. They wouldn't have stood behind him if he was going to speak for 30 minutes. So part of it is a sort of like, can I shuffle to the fucking side here? I'm standing right behind him. He's supposed to be a greeting. He's doing a tight 15 on how the border wall was going to be made of cement, but there's acid that goes through cement, and I didn't think it was going to be pretty. I thought it was going to be ugly. There's Greg Abbott. There's this guy. There's that guy. And they're standing behind him.
And Melania and her big goofy fucking hat is just hiding her eyes and looking down, and it's just so pissed the whole time. And then Trump starts talking about how her feet hurt and how she wanted to go home, but he made her come here. It's so weird.
Yeah. But it was like, to Dan's point about the communications piece of it, he basically, you know, takes us all behind the scenes because he gets up there and he says, these are the parts I really wanted to say, but they told me I couldn't say today that I should save it for tomorrow. But I'm not going to save it for tomorrow. I'm going to do it right here, right now. And
you know what? He was right. Doesn't matter.
That's his point. He said, I don't think it's going to affect the coverage because the coverage of my main speech is already out there and it's looking pretty good, but maybe I'll get in trouble.
Well, you know what? It will affect some of the coverage. We're going to talk about it. MSNBC's probably flipping out about it. New York Times will mention it, right? And then it won't fucking matter because most people that voted for him don't pay any attention to any of those media sources. And so it's like they just pay attention to Donald Trump, what Donald Trump says. So if he wants to do his fucking tight 33 on his stump speech revised one last time, you know, that's what he's here for 4 years for.
Right. And I assume all the headlines, even the mainstream headlines that'll be slowly that people will catch and see disperses are things like America's decline are over, America's golden age. They are the headlines that Donald Trump would want it to be. And by the way, that's not a criticism of them. When a president gives an inaugural, the headline should be the headline line from the speech. That is what it should be. So of course he's free to fucking do this. And by the way, all of his biggest fans are going to see this. They're all going to see, don't worry, the real Trump is still there. We're going to get exactly what we want from this guy.
Yeah. Just to end, Dan, you wrote a message box on Monday. Today, this morning, is it Monday?
Today
we're recording
Monday,
this on Monday, yes. As you all know, because we're talking about the inaugural, about how to survive the Trump presidency. What are some highlights? What are some tips for everyone on how to survive the Trump presidency? And then we can ask Tommy and Lovett what they think, too.
I'll do a few, and then for all of them, subscribe. But in all seriousness, I think there are just a few things I would, you know, there are going to be, after today, 1,460 more days of the Trump presidency. And we got to get through all of them, right? And we've got to try to get through them by staying, let's get through them with our faculties intact. And so just a couple things that I've been thinking about is, one, yes, Trump won a really big victory. Like he won, as he pointed out in his inaugural address, he won all the swing states. The country did move to the right. He did win the popular vote. But he also only won the presidency by about 100,000 votes in three states. And that's just worth keeping in mind, not to tell ourselves some story about how we don't have to make huge changes to the Democratic Party. We absolutely do. But just that victory is much closer than it appears right at this moment. So just like keep that in mind. Second, and I think this is a lesson we've all learned from the Trump years now, is we don't have to follow him down every rabbit hole, right? He wants our attention 24/7. He wants to just flood the zone with shit all the time. And our attention is our greatest resource, and we can decide when we give it to Trump. We don't have to give it to him all the time. We can just pick between the things that actually matter, where he's making a real impact, and the things that's just a bunch of noise to distract us. And so I think it's a very important thing. It's not something I'm going to try to do with the newsletter. I think it's something we can do with this podcast, is try to help people separate the signal from the noise, understand what matters. I think the most important thing is we're all angry. We are anxious. We are worried. And the best thing to do, and that's always been true ever since Trump was first elected, is to channel that into action. And people should go to Vote Save America to figure out ways to do that. But just I want to give people like a North Star for this, which is right now the Republicans have one of the narrowest House majorities in history. You have a bunch of Republicans who are existing in very, very purple districts. The voting patterns in the Trump era suggest we have a phenomenal chance to take the House back. And if we take the House back, Donald Trump will never pass another law that does not have Hakeem Jeffries okay. We will have the ability to investigate Donald Trump. We have the ability to hold hearings, to issue subpoenas, and we can do that. And that is of just, we have to get through these 2 years focused and working on taking the House back. And if we do that, Trump will still be president. He can still do really bad things, but we will have so much more power and ability to limit what he does, limit the damage he does, and expose him for who he is.
All right. I like that. Anyone else?
Watch what he does, not what he says, and focus on those midterms.
He said that in his speech. He said, well, actions matter, words more than words.
There we go.
I think that was right.
Donald yeah, he's Trump. He's a strong silent type, this one. Yeah, I've just two thoughts. One is things change less than you think in a year and more than you think in 5 years. And I think today, to me, was like a reminder of that. We wonder, like, how did we get to a place where corruption doesn't matter? Like, how did we get to a place where Donald Trump can abuse the office in this way? Well, it took time. It took a slow degradation of basic values, of the Republican Party being slowly and steadily corrupt, co-opted, but it did change, and it changed a lot. But it did it in a matter of just a few years, and we shouldn't be so cynical or apathetic or resigned to believe that it can't change just as much in the other direction in another couple of years. We have to slowly work towards that in all the ways we can. And that's a very big goal. And then that's a hard goal, and it's hard to think about. And then when you get anxious or bored or frustrated or mad about thinking about that big problem, you can focus on the very concrete of just winning the House.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's taken me 43 years to do this, but I don't doom about the future as much anymore, because not because there's nothing to doom about, but because nothing we can do. Like, worrying about it is not going to change it. So really trying to take the Trump presidency one day at a time and focusing on like what we can control and what we can't. And also recognizing that, to Dan's point, you know, he won by 100,000 plus votes in all the swing states. And we should also recognize, though, like why he won. And it seems like the, you know, not the Trump fans, but the additional people that got him over the, that got him over, you know, that got him close to 50% and won him the swing states. They were pissed about the cost of living. And they didn't think that the Democratic Party gave enough of a shit about them. And, you know, right now, price of eggs, $4.15. Price of eggs, mortgage rate is 7%. Gas is $3 a gallon. So we're just going to check back in on those because let's just take Donald Trump at his words. We've tried resistance politics. Let's try normal politics. Normal politics is he made a bunch of promises. Big promises that he was going to do. He's going to fix the country. We're not going to be in decline. Everything's going to be great. It's going to be affordable. Prices are going to fall. You're going to be doing great. Okay, if that happens, good for Donald Trump. But if it doesn't happen, we should point it out. We should point it out along the way when he breaks his promises or when he declines to fulfill them.
Yeah, there's a moment in the speech where he says that the country is unifying behind my agenda. It is not. That is wish casting. That is hopeful thinking. But the policies that are deeply unpopular a week ago remain deeply unpopular today. No, the country doesn't want giant tax cuts for the rich. No, it doesn't want a president who's focused on bathroom policies and ridiculous right-wing grievances over their basic day-to-day concerns.
And we'll be here with you guys the whole time. We're not going anywhere. So stick with us. You can, and our friends at Vote Save America are going to be here. You can sign up at Vote Save America to figure out how to get involved. We're giving everyone a break for a little bit, but you know what? There's going to be 2025 elections in Virginia and New Jersey. Then there's going to be the midterms before you know it. So we're going to be, it's going to be busy again. And also, you know, we'll be here on Pod Save America and all of our other pods. And you can sign up at Friends of the Pod to be a subscriber. And we have a great community and everyone is good to each other and shares their ideas. And we want to hear from you guys as well, because the Democratic Party has a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We are at rock bottom.
Let's hope. Let's hope. And as Dan said,
for a party,
not
the country, but for the party, we're pretty much at rock bottom. So it's going to take everyone to figure out how the hell to get us out of this.
And as Dan said in his message box, got to support progressive media. We got to have some alternative to this.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Dan and I will be back with a new episode on Friday, and we will see you then. Bye, everyone. If you want to listen to Pod Save America ad-free or get access to our subscriber Discord and exclusive podcasts, consider joining our Friends of the Pod community at crooked.com/friends or subscribe on Apple Podcasts directly from the Pod Save America feed. Also, be sure to follow Pod Save America on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube for full episodes, bonus content, and more. And before you hit that next button, you can help boost this episode by leaving us a review and by sharing it with friends and family. Pod Save America is a Crooked Media production. Our producers are David Toledo and Saul Rubin. Our associate producer is Farah Safari. Reed Cherlin is our executive editor, and Adrian Hill is our executive producer. The show is mixed and edited by Andrew Chadwick. Jordan Cantor is our sound engineer, with audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Madeline Herringer is our head of news and programming. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Naomi Singel is our executive assistant. Thanks to our digital team, Elijah Cohn, Haley Jones, Phoebe Bradford, Joseph Dutra, Ben Hefcoat, Mia Kelman, Molly Lobel, Kirill Pelaviv, and David Tolles. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcast and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community, is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Race to savings now at Menards. We have what you need to give your bathroom a fresh, updated look. Shop Menards' great selection of bathroom products from American Standard. No matter the size of your bathroom, American Standard offers a superior line of toilets, faucets, and more. Complete your bathroom update today with American Standard. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Race into savings now at Menards. Mastercraft makes great doors inside and out, building the highest quality doors in a wide variety of styles. Add beauty to your home with interior doors from Mastercraft. Shop our huge in-stock selection or design your door your way in-store or online. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Mastercraft doors today.
Save big money at Menards.